Living for today with an eye for tomorrow. This is the Voice of Vision broadcast.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior.
Now, here's our teacher, Pastor J.D. Hatfield.
Well, hello there, friends. Once again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org. And the first day that this program airs, you'll be able to see it right there in the text, right there on the front page at voiceofvision.org. But if you miss any of the days, obviously you can hit the archives there to listen to them on Sermon Audio or on Voice of Vision. But you can also hit Daily Blog right there from the front page, and you can find all of our archives and the text copy, and you can leave comments right there, like today's, "Will he make it?" Our theme verse is James 1:7, "For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord." That is the double-minded man who is unstable in all his ways. And just to get right to it, the question is this: can a saved, a quote-unquote saved individual, spend his life submitting to his old man? I don't mean his father, I mean the old man of the flesh, his old nature, and have a hope of spending eternity with the Heavenly Father? Well, let me answer that right off the bat. If that quote-unquote saved person was actually saved, then the answer is obviously yes. Because if they're justified by faith, and it's not what we did, it's what he did. And if they're declared righteous, there's no double jeopardy in the kingdom of God. Once they're declared righteous, they're based on the righteousness of Jesus Christ accounted to their, credited to their account. But the question is if this so-called saved person is really saved at all. What is the deal with that? That's such a big issue, you know. There are a lot of people called free gracers, and there's questions of repentance, and there's questions of, well, can you lose your salvation, or, you know, once saved, always saved, or perseverance of the saints, they never fully and finally fall away. So many issues that, I mean, I've just touched on some right there, and you might not even understand all that, but let's just frame it simply. Can a saved or seemingly saved individual spend his life submitting to his old man and have hope of spending eternity to the Father? Do they have any assurance, someone that never seems to change? Now, again, I want to say right off the bat that, you know, we can't yell at people for not being on this end of the pool, as it were. We just recognize that they're in the pool, try to lend them a hand, and don't let them drown us as well. And change is the kingdom of God, and it says in Mark chapter 4, is like a man should put a seed in the ground, and he doesn't know how it grows, but it gives fruit, the blade, the ear, the full corn in the ear, 30, 60, 100, it multiplies. But if there's none there, then what can we say there? What's really going on? Again, if a saved person is actually a saved person, then obviously the amount of sin is not the point. But does the amount of sin or the lack of change, is it a basis of assurance or non-assurance? Is there some line we cross, or is it just proof that, like John said in 1 John 2, they have come out from among us because they never really were from us? These are age-old questions in Christianity regarding the matter of degree. Where's the line, if any, to be drawn regarding sanctification? Justified by faith, but does anybody that's justified also become sanctified? Well, they're set apart. But how much holiness do they really have to achieve, if any? Is someone who never sets foot in a church once, or who never gives up any of their old life of sin, a genuine born-again Christian? If the answer is no, well, where do we draw the line? See, this is a big thing, and I want you to listen up today. Because the truth is that people that don't care, don't care. And people that do care, care. What do I mean by that? It means that if there was some line, and the people that didn't care wouldn't care anyway, they're not even thinking in terms of that. And the people that do care are caring enough to do something about it. But is it even up to us anyway? And if not, do we just let anyone into our church fellowship, even the stubbornly and defiantly unrepentant person who says they're a believer? Well, of course, I think 1 Corinthians 5 and 6 answers that. Purge the person out from you. It's not, I'm having this problem and I know it's a sin and I'm struggling with it. It's the person that says, you can't tell me what to do. You have sin as well. It's not a sin. I'm going to go march in that parade
that type of thing.
There's a difference there between struggling and defiant rebellion. Perhaps it's more suitable for us to ask, what degree does the light of Christ need to shine from a person in order to reveal that that light is actually within a person? Jesus said no one takes his light and hides it under a bushel, but some people, can they have the light and not even know it? Now, to get back to the originally worded question, can a saved individual spend his life submitting to his old man and have hope of spending eternity with the Heavenly Father? I imagine they could. But they wouldn't have any earthly assurance. You know, 1 John 5 gives us these marks of a new relationship with sin, a new relationship with repentance, a new relationship to the commandments of God, a new relationship to sanctification, a new relationship to your brothers and sisters in Christ, showing that these things, by these things we know that we have the Spirit within us. We know that we are saved. We should know. The doctrine of assurance is just so marginalized today. We want to say, oh, you said the prayer, it's good, and we have relatives that never showed any signs of repentance, of true repentance, of actually changing their life. Not because they had to change to get heaven, because they've gotten heaven and so they change. Because faith says, there's where Jesus is, that's the way he went, I'm going that way. I may drop the football, but I pick it up again. Some are say they're in the game and they're not even in the game. Or they're just doing that to get everybody off their back. And the question is, will they make it? Can a saved individual spend his life submitting to his old man and have hope of spending eternity with the Father? Assurance. Well, they might make it, but how can we give anybody like that any assurance? Again, this might be like, you can liken this to a drunk who makes it, but all his works in terms of rewards are nothing. He gave his life to Christ. He was born again. And so he believed. Notice the way I said that. He was born again, and so he believed, and yet he struggled, and let's say he fell down the stairs and bumped his head and just lived a life terrible after that. He was just all confused and had a brain issue and all that. Can he be going to heaven? Well, certainly. When God saves you, God saves you. That's the point. It's not you that save you, and it's not you that keep you. It's the Lord that saves, and it's the Lord that keeps. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling be all praise and glory to God forever. You know, it says that in Jude and in many places. You understand that. But are there a bunch of drunks and prostitutes and drug users and all that are going to be in the kingdom of heaven? I imagine that there probably will be. But how can we give them any assurance now? We give them assurance if they want to turn and trust Christ, not if they become good little boys and girls, but that there will be a change. The blade, the ear, the full corn in the ear. There is some fruit. That's how we know we are disciples. And that's what gives God glory. John 15, and all those that don't bear fruit, he throws into the fire, everlasting fire. And so a lot of them would be like it is in 1 Corinthians 3 or 2 Corinthians 5. They just don't have any rewards. They're burned up. They make it on God's grace alone like the rest of us. But since they didn't live a sanctified life, they forfeit blessings on earth and rewards in heaven. And of course, their assurance is shaken while here in this life, perhaps. It's a good question. It's one in which I fear too many people rest on some quote-unquote decision earlier in life. And I understand, you know, as a pastor for certain, trying to give people comfort. Well, I can only hope because, you know, at one time they walked the aisle. Well, friends, walking the aisle doesn't save you. Baptism doesn't save you. Jesus saves you. And those that God saves are to become God's slaves. Some of them do it better than others. There's no question about that. Some get saved and then they die. I believe in foxhole religion, folks. If God converts you, he converts you. And that's it. But some people don't have a chance, a little child, to live out a good life, a thief on the cross. And so I understand these things. And we can't necessarily say we don't know people's hearts. We can't know their motivations. But people that try to come and tell you, well, God knows my heart, yes, but he uses the Bible to reveal it. And it's not the question of does God know your heart? Of course he does. It's does God have your heart? And for people that would care about this, of course, I believe they're going to make it. They're caring about it. They want to do something. I'm not talking about being morbidly introspective and seeing some sort of line here. The Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit, and he is the ultimate mailman. We got that seal on us. We are going to be delivered all the way to heaven. And we are delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his marvelous light. But the seal of the Lord has two signs on it. 2 Timothy 2:19 tells us, "The Lord knows those that are His, and let those that name the Lord depart from iniquity." And I think about Paul, and he tells them with tears that there are many who walk as enemies of the cross, as enemies of the gospel of Christ. Their God is their belly. And he said, their end is destruction. I did a whole sermon on that call, I Tell You With Tears, and I did several posts and articles, and you can find them on voiceofvision.org or sermon audio right there about that sort of thing and apostatizing and all that. It's a very big question. Will he make it? Can a saved individual, again, spend his life submitting to his old man and have hope of spending eternity with the Father? If that saved person was actually saved, then obviously the answer is yes. But the question is that person saved? Perhaps there are some who never realize their release from the shackles of sin at all in this life, and they still make it to heaven. As I've been saying this whole program, I believe it certainly is possible. To do justice to this question, however, we've got to look at the full picture. We don't know for sure how many might be like this, and there's going to be a whole lot more the other way around. They lead bad lives that don't reflect the light of Christ to any visible degree. I'm not talking about to me. I'm talking about they don't even pick up their Bible to know if it does or not. The Apostle Paul said, examine yourselves whether you be of the faith. He says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, he said in 1 Corinthians 10, you know, he gives all the examples of the Israelites and says, let him that takes take heed, that thinks he stand, take heed lest he fall. And again in Philippians chapter 3, he says, their end is destruction. So yeah, I think there's going to be people that live not a very good life, and other people live good lives, and some are going to make it and some aren't. You know, those Matthew 7, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? And he said, I don't know you. And he may know some people, and they may not live the best of lives. That's not the point. But when someone leads a bad life that doesn't reflect the light of Christ to any visible degree, they don't talk of Christ, they're not interested in Christ or the church. Yes, I said the church and God's people, and they think they're going to be in heaven based on some quote-unquote decision that they made earlier in life. I think they're in trouble. I think they're only fooling themselves. Will he make it? Well, it depends on Jesus. But when Jesus saves somebody, he doesn't just save them from something, he saves them to something. He saves them from the wrath of God against sin, and from hell, and from themselves, and save them to himself. The power of the Holy Spirit, and there will be some light showing. It may not be much. I may not like it. Your neighbor may not like it. Your wife may not like it. But it may be there. But is it there? You can't rely on some decision. We need to ask the real question. If you didn't like who God was and want to love Christ, and by extension want to live a life pleasing to God on earth, why in the world would you want to have to live that life in heaven? So the answer to the original question, or any similarly worded question, is this. In theory, yes, some will make it, but in practice, many won't. How about you? Have you trusted Christ for real? Is it the blade, the ear, the full corn ear in the ear in your life? Is there any movement at all? Are you growing closer to God? Take one step today. Repent and trust in Jesus Christ. Then you'll make it, because He made it for you. That's all the time we have for the Voice of Vision broadcast. We'll see you next time. This is Pastor J.D. Hatfield. God bless you.
Oh, yes, I'm glad to know my life is hid with Jesus, and that's where
see you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast, where we are living for today with an eye for tomorrow.
And reveling with God eternally.